thanks very much, Bob. It's really humbling to get this award and, you know, just to talk to people and have them come up. It's really kind of a neat deal.
And we were laughing before we started the interview. Is you have to interview yourself this year.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm just hopeful I don't get anything wrong, you know, because who could I complain to?
And that would be embarrassing. Talk a bit about your background, how you got into this.
I actually grew up on a Wisconsin dairy farm about 100 miles northwest of here and went to the University of Wisconsin River Falls for agriculture and journalism, and started out on a state farm magazine in Minnesota called the Farmer Magazine. Then actually went back and farmed with my folks for a few years. We ran about a 65-70 cow dairy up in Sheboygan County. But then we decided to come back into journalism. Did a stint at Holstein World for about 4 years. And then I've been with Dairy Today and Farm Journal since 1989.
How has the magazine changed over your years?
Well, it's really incredible how things have evolved, because it was, you know, it was totally print when we started out. In fact, when I was at the Farmer, we still had the hot lead linotype machines to set the type. I mean, that's how old I am. But now it's all digital. You do everything with computer. And now we're into electronic digital e-newsletters. Part of Farm Journal Media has another radio network, and so I'm on that every week. We have Ag Day TV, so we're involved in that. So it's just all media all the time, and it's almost 24/7. You know, we call it the insatiable beast, because you can never produce enough copy to meet all the needs.
How has that consumer changed over the years?
I don't think the producer has really changed all that much. I mean, they're still interested in milk production, cow health, and then policy. And with the digital age, we're finding through our surveys that print is still very important to them, and our readership really hasn't gone down. But then they pile the digital stuff on top of that, and they're using their smartphones to look at markets, and we have an app, I'm sure you do too, where they can get information. And with GPS and auto steer, when they're going down the row planting corn, you know, they can be checking the markets or reading the news. You know, it's just amazing. So it's just more information all the time.
And that's something really has changed for you, is if you were a monthly or even a weekly, and now it's instantaneous information.
It is. It is. It's amazing, because sometimes farmers will call me and they will know about a market move or something that, well, I didn't check for 10 minutes. And you know, they're asking, what does this mean? And it's like, wow, it's just instantaneous. And it's global. You know, we get information from New Zealand, Australia, Europe now. Because the industry has globalized so much and the markets have globalized so much, we have to be watching all of this stuff. And producers, because they're hedging and doing risk management, they want to know and they need to know what's going on everywhere.
What would you say is the biggest change in the dairy industry in the last 25 years?
Probably it may be the cow herself. When you think about it, back when we started in the business, I think we're about the same age. You know, average production per cow was about 12, 13,000 pounds. Now it's 22,000 pounds, and we have herds, you know, well over 30,000 pounds. So these animals have been really bred to produce, and they're just incredible, you know, mammals to produce that kind of milk, over 100 pounds per cow per day, and they're doing it, you know, for over 300 days a year. So I think, in a sense, that's the biggest change. And then all the technology that's wrapped around that to help support that is just pretty mind-blowing, if you think what our dad and grandfathers worked with, you know. It really is tremendous.
So where do you see the industry 25 years from now?
Boy, that's really, really hard to predict. We do the official program here for World Dairy Expo, and next year will be 50-year anniversary of the show. They've produced a book, a commemorative book, looking back 50 years. Next year's program, we didn't dare look ahead 50 years. We're going to just try and project ahead 10 years to see where this is all going. But I saw a projection just this week that we could be producing something like 50 billion more pounds of milk in 2024, and that's just based on the natural progression of per cow production. That's not adding any more cows to the U.S. herd. And so that's almost a 25% increase in milk production in the next 10 years. So it's just astounding what probably will happen. And the other big thing then is we're going to have to find a place to process that all that milk, because right now in the Midwest and the Northeast, our plants are full. And so we're going to have to build new plants to process that and then market that overseas, because we're not going to all consume that all here at home.
Are there parts of the, can North America grow while Europe declines in production? Are there parts of the world that you think will back off and others pick up the difference?
Europe is actually starting to increase milk production because their quotas came off in April. And you're seeing increases in Ireland, the Netherlands, and then the former East Germany and those Eastern Bloc countries are very good places to produce milk. And so you could see production even increasing there. But it's in the third world nations, particularly in Asia and China, with growing populations, growing incomes, that I think everybody sees that as a growing market. Even Africa will be the new hotspot if they can support the income, you know, to feed those populations. The Middle East also takes a lot of dairy, and so that's a burgeoning market. South America, Central America, again, love dairy. And so those are all potential markets for the U.S., and they can't really produce milk in a lot of those areas because of the heat and humidity. So we're really poised to take advantage of that.
And one that always surprises people is India.
That's right. And they may be the number two milk producer in the world, I think, behind Europe. But they're doing it all with small herds, even with buffalo. And they're using BST on buffalo, if you can believe that. But what is it, in 5 to 10 years, their population will be greater than China's. And so that's a tremendous milk market. But they have closed that market off to the U.S., so we don't have entry into it. But if that would change sometime, again, that would be an opportunity for us.